I think of my kids, I think of my grandkids, that if the Lord doesn't return in my time, yet there's a promise that He will come again. There's a promise there is a generation that will never die. Either God's a liar or it's going to happen. And you see, things happen not in our time, in His time. So we have to stand back and read the Scriptures and wait upon God to do what He said He was going to do.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul's goal is to encourage you as an end times believer, challenging you to live out your faith without compromise as you await Christ's return for His church. For inspiration on Raul's story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Today we're beginning an exciting new series focused on trusting God's prophetic promises. Raul and Sean are here with us in the studio to give us a look at what we can expect in this week's studies.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio. We're excited that this week we're going to be kicking off a new series on prophecy. Raul, you've loved studying prophecy for so many years. Why?
Well, because Pastor Chuck Smith, when I went to Calvary Chapel in 1972, he was always teaching on prophecy. We're going through the Bible, but he would have these series on prophecy. And that not only helped me to understand the future, but it gave me a hope. A lot of people don't have hope today. But also, it gave me an urgency to study and to share with people prophecy.
For those that have never studied prophecy before, and maybe they're getting new to the Word of God, what would you share with them of the importance of studying prophecy and the fact that how you can trust God's Word due to prophecy?
First of all, I would like to say that they need to read the Bible. You know, they need to know God's Word. And then as they get to read the Bible, they come to chapters that are very important that you don't really understand unless you study prophecy. But not just that chapter goes back to other chapters in the Old Testament to be brought into the New Testament. And today, people really need to understand because things are happening right now in the present, not in the future, in the present, getting ready for the future.
So we hope that you enjoy this week. We are a ministry that is dedicated to teaching and preaching God's Word, and we hope that it will encourage you as we study prophecy.
Well, let's listen in now as Raul begins the message, Trusting God's Word, taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
One of the problems today in a lot of churches, and maybe even here, people don't read the Bible. And there's so much information given to us in the Word of God in the Old Testament, bringing to the New Testament. The prophets spoke in the Old Testament. Their prophecies were fulfilled in the New Testament. We're going to see this morning. And so we want to be able to see the hand of God in our lives, not expanding something that is not real or trying to scare people. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to teach you what the Bible teaches. We're going to be dealing in Matthew 24, Mark 13, 21. We're going to go to the Old Testament, the book of Amos. We're just going to all the way through to see what God says in the Old or the New Testament. So this morning we start here with the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, concerning the word of God. This is what he says in chapter 4, verse 12 of Hebrews. He says, for the word of God is living and powerful. Notice what he says. The word of God, powerful, living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul, the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when I read that and I study the book of Hebrews, I can say that I can trust the word of God. Then when God speaks about the past, present, and future, I can really look at the word of God as divine. Notice prophecy here. What illumination, prophetic, and then at the same time we see the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he spoke to the prophets and he spoke to the disciples. And so it's important for you as a person to study the Word of God. We need to watch things, to be watchful. It's all bad news, but we have good news for people. Not only that Jesus is coming again, but that Jesus wants us to have a relationship with Him and be able to have the love of Christ in our lives. Let's look at the definition of the word prophecy so we can understand what he's talking about. The definition of prophecy is this. Prophecy is a doctrine of scripture dealing with predictions of events that will happen in the future. And then he says, theologians call this doctrine eschatology, a word derived from the Greek eschatos, which means the last of the last things. This is it, the last of the last things. It refers to the events that will climax in human history. Look what's happened from the time that I was a child coming up to this present time. Crime, I mean drugs, all these things that at one time you didn't hear about these things in America. And yet America has been infected. America has been infected with drugs and alcohol and I mean sexual perversion and all these things that we go back to the Old Testament. To the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember what happened there? Lot was with Abraham. He decided to split. Abraham said, you go ahead and choose wherever you want to go. So he chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He went and he made his house pretty far away from Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he moved a little closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the next step, he was sitting in Sodom and Gomorrah at the gates where the judgment was made. And that's why God sent the two angels. He sent two angels to let them know that he was coming to destroy the city of Gomorrah. And this is something that we need to understand. That the majority of people in Sodom and Gomorrah were homosexuals. If you read the scriptures. They came to the house and they tried to force themselves to bring out the angels and have sexual encounters with them. Lot went outside and they tried to kill him. And then the angels pulled him back in the house. And then what did they do? They blinded these people and they still wanted to get into the house. So we have these things in the Bible they speak about. The book of Romans chapter 1, you got to read it. He speaks again not only of homosexuality, but lesbianism. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness in order that are revealed anywhere in the scriptures. God speaks in the scriptures. For example, the accuracy of biblical predictions. Number one, prophecy is occupying about one-fifth of the Bible entirely. One-fifth. Secondly, the second coming of Christ takes up about one-third of all biblical prophecy. One-third. So that's a lot. So God wanted us to understand when he was coming. When he came, in his coming. He brought grace to us, and then he's coming again in what? In judgment. I think of my kids, I think of my grandkids, that if the Lord doesn't return in my time, yet there's a promise that he will come again. There's a promise there is a generation that will never die. Either God's a liar or it's going to happen. And you see, things happen not in our time. In his time. So we have to stand back and read the scriptures and wait upon God to do what he said he was going to do. The second coming of Christ is taking about one third of all biblical prophecy, as I said. And then check this out. His second coming of Christ is described as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day of judgment if you read in the Old Testament. The day of the Lord or the day of Christ is speaking of the rapture of the church. That whenever you read the Lord, the day of Jehovah, it's judgment against what God's going to do against this world. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, Paul says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We don't know, but he's going to come. When you read the scriptures and you speak about the rapture of the church, a lot of people say, well, where can you find that? You can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Peter. You can go all through the scriptures, even in the book of Revelation. In chapter 4, verse 1, when John entered the presence of the Lord, he was raptured up to heaven. So when we read the scriptures, we have to believe what God says. There's no fear. That there's excitement. Because I can say the word of God is genuine. I can trust it. I can trust God's word. Yet people trust other things. They trust other books. They trust other people that are speaking lies to people to put fear in them. Or you have those people that talk about the coming Lord to get your money. There's a lot of those people. Whatever God says is going to pass. It's going to happen. No doubt in my mind because the Bible says that. And then he says it is unknown, Matthew 24:7. Jesus said, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes on the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." And then Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." It's so awesome to know that the rapture of the church is a secret. But once the rapture of the church takes place where the church is taken to heaven, people ask, well, is everybody going to take it to heaven? Nope, not everybody. If you read Paul's letters, he continually speaks about holiness, about living a life of obedience, a life that you're not only excited about the coming of the Lord, but you believe that he's coming again. He says here in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day again, an hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only." And then he says this in Matthew 24:30. "The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." What God says, it comes to pass. Of these 300 prophecies strictly applying to Jesus Christ, over 100 were fulfilled in his first coming. In the Old Testament, there are over 660 general prophecies, and at least 330 of these are concerning Jesus Christ himself in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament contains at least 46 men who were known as prophets. At least 35 of them predicted events of the second coming, that Jesus Christ would come. And then there leaves over 200 prophecies which would be fulfilled in the finest detail at the second coming of Christ, because he says this, of these 300 prophecies strictly applying to Jesus Christ, again, over 100 will be fulfilled in his first coming. He already came. He's coming back again. Not in your time, not in my time, but he's coming again. What I love about the coming of the Lord, that this event that is going to take place called the rapture of the church, the harpazo it's called in the Greek, a disappearing, a twinkle of an eye. And then the world will go into that period of time that once the church is taken out of the way, because the Holy Spirit has been here for what, 1900 years. That when the Antichrist rises, and I said this before, that those people that were left behind and they see that their parents are gone or their loved ones are gone and many people that they know are gone, they're going to know because they've heard concerning the coming of the Lord. That's how we witness. And when the coming of the Lord comes, what's going to happen to them? Unless, it says this in the scripture, you can read it in the book of Revelation, that the only way they'll be able to go to heaven is not to take the mark of the beast. 666. If you take the mark of the beast, you can do whatever you want to do for the last 7 years of world history. But if you don't take the mark of the beast, guess what happens? You get beheaded. Your head comes off. That's why we need to be ready. The trumpet can blow at any time, the Bible tells us in the scriptures. At any time, it could happen. And then he says this, that even Christ himself referred to his return 21 times. The reference, again, 23 reference to the second coming. And then it says this over 50 verses in the New Testament caution us to be ready for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you don't believe the word of God. The greatest miracle that God has given to us is being born again of the Holy Spirit. His love, his grace, by repenting of our sins. And when you come to know Christ, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon your life. And when you read the Bible, when the Holy Spirit came upon my life, I began to understand the Bible. The Bible began to convict my life of things I used to do. But if you never read the Bible, how is God going to convict you? How is God going to speak to you as you're going through the scriptures? God says, this is for you. And so you stop. And you begin to read. And the reason he stops you is because you're his child. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, what does he say? Because we are his children. If we do something that is not right before him, he takes you like a parent and he spanks you. He chastens you. And it says because he loves you. not because he hates you. So we need to be sensitive to the Word of God. That if the Word of God is true, which I believe it is true, when I came to Christ, it changed my life and continues to change my life, and my whole family's life will change. But most important, it's the Word of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you read, when you pray, when you teach, when you share with other people. Now, the accuracy of the Scriptures, the Bible proves accurately in the very frequent references to matter of history, principle, and natural science. It is true that archaeological and historical research has confirmed the biblical reference in hundreds of instances, and that scores of now known facts of science were written in the Bible long before men recognized them in nature. Moses, all the prophets. Fourthly, unique preservation of the Scripture. No other book has ever been the subject of such antagonism. People hate the Bible. People hate you. If you begin to tell people about Jesus Christ, they'll hate you. If you bring your Bible and begin to share with them the Bible, they don't want to listen. But you can always tell someone that is being convicted by the Holy Spirit, because they'll say, tell me, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit will convict them, and they say, well, what's my next step? And when the Holy Spirit is with you, the next step is he's in your life. And the reason he's in your life, because you have repented of your sins. You've repented of what you were doing. This is a problem within the church today. That the Lord is coming back, but people don't really believe it. If we really, truly believe it, we would have different lives. Our children, our grandchildren could see there's different life in my life and your life. And young people, as they come to know the Word of God, there's so many, so awesome, for them to see that they want to be used by God. They want to tell their friends. So we need to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying 7 times in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. If we don't have an ear to hear, then what can we hear? We'll hear lies. But if we hear the truth of God, it's going to change us. It's going to transform us. We're going to believe that Jesus is coming again. And we'll get ready for the coming of the Lord. Another thing here that he goes on. Kings and priests have tried desperately to destroy it, and unbelieving intellectuals to ridicule it and to refute it. I can remember when I was at Citrus College, our professor of philosophy was constantly, you know, making fun of the Bible. I wasn't a Christian. And everybody would laugh. And when I came to Christ, I remember those things, because now I know that the Bible is the Word of God. I know that Christ came, he died, he's coming back again, and we are going to be in his presence very soon. Very soon. The Old Testament writers, again, with great frequency, claim to be recording the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples and the prophets said that, and they did. The books of Moses, which is the Pentateuch, 680 claims of inspiration. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. When you read it, inspiration. You can see how God spoke to Moses when he up to Mount Sinai, and the Shekinah glory came upon him. And God spoke to him, gave him 2 tablets called the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, when Jesus Christ came, he came to fulfill the law and give us his grace, his love, and mercy. So it's so awesome. Now, the books of Moses, 680 claims of inspiration. Prophetical books, 1,307 claims of inspiration. The word is inspired. And then the historical books, 418 claims of inspiration from Joshua all the way through. Poetical books, starting with the Psalms, 195 claims of inspiration. Of inspiration. Notice poetical books, 5 of them. And then the entire Old Testament, 600 claims of inspiration. So you can trust the Word of God. When you read it, pay attention to it and spend time reading the Word of God and asking God to speak to you. He will speak to you. How about thirdly, the examples of biblical accuracy? Number 1, at one time science said the earth is flat. At one time again, he says, from the beginning of God's word, it said the earth had a sphere. Science now believes it. In Isaiah 40:22, it says, here's Isaiah. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Mark that, the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Isaiah the prophet, imagine that. 750 years before Christ came. Secondly, at one time science said every star was identical. Every star. Now they found out, man, there's billions and billions of stars, and they're not the same. Listen, at one time again, from the beginning of God's word, he said that they were different, and science now believes and concurs. 1 Corinthians 15:41 said, there is one glory of the sun, one glory, notice, of the moon, one glory, another glory of the stars. For one star is different from another star in glory. In glory. Thirdly, at one time science said winds blow straight. From the beginning, God's word said winds blow in cyclones. Science now concurs. They should have read the Bible. Ecclesiastes 1:6. The wind goes towards the south, it returns around the north, the wind whirls about continually and comes again in this circuit. Doing that. Fourthly, at one time science said sick people must be bled. From the beginning, God's word said, blood is the source of life, and the healing science now concurs. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. The blood of Jesus Christ atone our lives. You see, the life of the blood.
We hope today's message has bolstered your faith in the Lord's sovereignty and power. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the message titled Trusting God's Word. We'd also like to offer you a brand new resource from Raul that further explores what God has revealed about himself and his plans for the world through biblical prophecy. Titled Fulfilled Prophecy, The Victory, this five-message audio pack points to several scriptural promises that have already been fulfilled and explores the reliability of God's word in illuminating his faithfulness. Act now to purchase this empowering new series titled Fulfilled Prophecy, The Victory. You'll discover what the lives of Lot, Noah, and Abraham teach us about God's character as we learn to put unwavering trust in his promises. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to make your purchase. We'll send you this five-message collection for a gift of $20 or more. If you'd like to order by writing, the mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Raul and his wife Sharon would also love to have you join them for a spiritual adventure retracing some of the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys. With port stops at noteworthy locations like Corinth, Ephesus, and Rome, this is a truly life-changing opportunity you won't want to miss. The dates for the cruise are April 1st through April the 11th. To get more information, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the link to the 2019 Footsteps of Paul Cruise. Donate now, and your contributions will help keep Raul's Bible-based teaching on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded through the generosity of partners like you, and every gift you give is tax-deductible. Coming up tomorrow on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore how Christ fulfilled hundreds of prophecies with his first coming, and we'll be encouraged in what the Bible tells us about his return. Here's Raul now with a final word.
And this is the conclusion. This is so cool. How quickly is he coming? Revelation 22:7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. He's coming to give us rewards. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And then Romans 14:10, rewards are going to be given to believers. And then who he is, Revelations 22:13. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. I love that. And then how about the angels testifying, Revelations 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches, seven churches in Revelation. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And then the exhortation, Revelations 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly, so be it. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be our prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.